Hello, everyone. I'm Crystal Bauer, founder of Live Greatly. After having practiced in mainstream medicine for a number of years, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. This revelation led me on a very unique journey to explore exactly what wellness means and how best to attain it. My goal with this podcast is to share some of my findings to help my listeners find their way to achieve optimal health in mind, body, and spirit to attain success. Now for a quick disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author and are not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. And please always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified healthcare professional when you have any questions regarding your specific health, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. And before taking any medications, including any over-the-counter drugs, supplements, vitamins, herbs, always consult a physician or other qualified healthcare professional. So now let's jump into the topic for today's podcast. And today we're very lucky to have a very inspiring guest, Bill Bucklew. And in 2012, Bill was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at 43 years old. And his father was later diagnosed with Parkinson's as well in 2014. Bill formed the not-for-profit Uncorked Adventures in 2017 with the mission of helping people with Parkinson's disease make the most out of life while we work together to find a cure. For Uncork's first event, Bill walked coast to coast across America, finding one person each day with a connection to Parkinson's. Even though some of the world's foremost experts strongly advised Bill that he could not physically do it, he pushed ahead and successfully completed the trek on January 31st, 2018 in 67 days, averaging 40 miles per day, without a break, raising significant money for Parkinson's research. He's been featured on the Today Show and also has given a TEDx talk on this topic. Since his diagnosis, he's completed 20 marathons, the Dopey Challenge in Disney, 8 triathlons, including a full Ironman, a Nordic ski marathon, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, several ultra marathons, and more. So welcome, Bill, and thank you so much for being on my podcast. I'm really excited to talk with you today.
Hi, Crystal. Yeah, really glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, you know, I wanted to start with how you handled your diagnosis of Parkinson's. And you had mentioned to me that you were advised by your doctor to not share the news, and instead you chose to share your diagnosis with all those in your life very quickly. And I'm just hoping you can tell me a little bit more about that and why you made that choice.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't necessarily just my doctor. I had that advice from multiple perspectives. And, you know, being young onset, which is really rare, which is under the age of 50 and diagnosed with Parkinson's, my symptoms weren't as overt as they would be normally. And, you know, I definitely have had a career ahead of me and still do. So there's a lot of considerations. You know, I want to preface what I'm about to say with that, and that this is a very personal choice, but I think it might be interesting for some people. You know, it just didn't feel right to me. I'm a very open person by nature, and I don't even want to try and keep anything hidden from anybody. And, you know, I spent about 2 weeks discussing it with my family and thinking about it after my diagnosis, and literally at a friend's party on a Saturday night told like 30 of my closest friends, you know, poor guy's party. But it was selfishly really a great way for me just to get everything out there and open. And then that led to a lot of other opportunities for me down the road. You know, and I think it really opened up the real potential for me to do a lot of these things that I've been able to accomplish, which I otherwise wouldn't have been able to do without being open about it. So,
right. And you've done some really remarkable things. You know, I would love to talk about your experiences walking coast to coast to raise money and awareness for Parkinson's. And, you know, you mentioned that you weren't supported by your doctors, but went ahead anyways, and you have such dedication and drive. I would just love to hear about your experience and how you made the decision to move forward, even when your doctors weren't on board.
Yeah, I want to preface that by saying my primary neurologist was definitely, you know, concerned, but was okay with it. But I really was fortunate. I got connected with a gentleman who's an Olympic strength and conditioning coach, one of the top coaches in the U.S. And before the walk, you know, I started reaching out to various experts and people to get advice and training and everything else. Mm-hmm. And they brought me down to the biodynamics lab at Armstrong State University and wired me up and digitized my entire body. And basically staged an intervention after that, which was because, you know, the Parkinson's really affects my trunk rotation. My, you know, for instance, my heel was only lifting about half as much as what a normal person's would. Mm-hmm. And they staged an intervention and said, you know, you can't physically walk across America. You're not going to be capable of doing it. So why don't you do a triathlon across America? You know, find a couple lakes, swim a little bit, walk a little bit, but primarily bike. It'll be less stress on your body. And, you know, I just really internalized that. I mean, this was really serious. Like, this wasn't a casual conversation. It was very serious discussion. And, you know, when you have the foremost experts in their fields telling you you can't do something, you know, there was only a couple options for me at that point. And I thought it through, and, you know, it was really to the point of, what if I went ahead and did it and failed? What would that mean? You know, yeah, it would be disappointing. I would be telling everyone I'm going to walk across America and then I don't do it. But I still think it would be a win, because I'd still raise awareness and I'd find out what I'm capable of. And it turns out, you know, in the end that I was able to do it. It certainly wasn't easy. And it was very hard given my physical limitations, but you know, I did end up completing it, and, you know, it really then became a metaphor for a lot of other things that I've approached and attacked in life that normally probably wouldn't have gone near because I was afraid I was going to fail or not. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's remarkable. And, you know, talking about your, you not being afraid to fail, I think that is so important when you're trying to make a positive impact on the world and you know, you want to do great things. What do you think gave you that sense of comfort with the idea of failure?
Well, I told myself, and, you know, you could cue my friends and family and they may tell you something different, but I told myself I wouldn't put myself in any physical jeopardy. Mm-hmm. I would push myself extremely hard as I could. But if there was a point where I was going to do some sort of, you know, lasting damage to my body or myself, I would quit. And that was the deal I made with myself. And, you know, that I walked up to that edge couple of times, but I never went over the edge, and, I don't have any permanent damage as a result of it. And, you know, so then the rest of the failure piece had nothing to do with any physical health or well-being of myself. It was more than just, you know, my own ego and things like that, which I can easily cast aside and say, I don't care. I'm going to go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and all that stuff strips away and it just becomes easy.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you're doing it for a greater purpose too. And I think that always helps me if I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing this because I want to help people or, you know, give back to the world. And that kind of takes away my, you know, again, my ego sense of like, well, what if it gets rejected or what if I fail? You know, it's kind of tapping into that greater purpose has helped me. Yeah, I had listened to one of your interviews and you had talked about having some really extreme challenges on your journey, on your walk. And I heard you mention that you had some interactions with some wild animals. And I was curious if you could share some of those stories.
Oh my gosh. Well, so many stories. So, I'll tell you two stories, one kind of serious, the other really funny. You're walking 17 to 19 hours a day straight, and you're walking, or I'm walking in the middle of the night. I've got a headlamp on and I've got some, you know, trekking poles to help take a little of the stress off my legs. So, I mean, I'm walking through these neighborhoods and no animal's ever seen anything like this, like me coming through. You know, I'm a 200-pound, 6'4" guy with a headlamp cranking these sticks. And, you know, I ended up getting attacked by a lot of different dogs along the way. And it's not the dog's fault, right? These dogs are dogs that stay outside year round. They're there to protect the property. And here, who the heck is this guy coming through in the middle of the night? But I had, I mean, the most vicious dog attack you could ever imagine. I mean, literally, I just see this like shadow and you can kind of hear it running towards me, sprinting right at me.
Oh my God.
Like jumps at me. And luckily I had the sticks with me. I had kind of this, it sounds ridiculous, but I had a three kind of part system of protection, which I had no opportunity to get. I had an air horn that works great at like even 50 feet, but there was no time to react. The dog like grabs the stick with his mouth and is like thrashing it back and forth.
Oh, wow.
So I eventually, I kept the dog off me. I didn't get bit. I walked back about two blocks and then I had an RV and a gentleman in an RV who had volunteered, who was a friend who had Parkinson's in his family as well, that was kind of helping me out, picked me up, and we drove a block and a half, two blocks past the house. And as we go past the house, the dog comes running out again and starts biting the tire of the RV.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was crazy.
Wow.
And we had this nice little happy looking dog on the side of the RV, you know, painted on, you know, like looking out the window from the company. And,
did you really?
Looking down at this other dog, just ripping the tire to shreds.
Oh man.
But then one other story, in Texas, my family met me out there for a week as I was, it was right around Christmas time, probably the 27th of December. And Heidi, my wife, who's awesome, surprised us with some Chinese food. And we pulled over, and this is kind of a luxury. I was eating a lot of just hand foods and things at night, especially. So super excited. So we start hearing these kind of coyotes howling, and it's getting louder and louder and more and more. And what had happened is the aromatics of the Chinese food were so strong that it brought, we don't know, but maybe 20 or 30 coyotes. It was unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
All around, surrounded the RV. So I had to get out and walk. And I did. And, you know, it's actually pretty safe with coyotes. They generally don't attack humans unless there's a rabies problem or something else. So I didn't get attacked, but they were within 15 feet, 20 feet of me, all around me, howling. And it was quite scary, and you know, all because of a nice deed that my wife did to get us some Chinese food.
Wow.
So, you know, just so many funny little ticks along the way, right?
Right, but in the end now, I mean, you look back, and even with all of that, you know, was it worth it? And I think I know the answer to this question, but do you feel like it was
worth
it? Yeah.
I mean, it was such a surprise, too, because I really, you know, back to advice from people and finding your own path through your own journey in life. I was advised by so many people on this walk to do things like carry a gun to protect myself, to be aware of people at night. And I can honestly say I really didn't have any bad people experiences on the entire trip. It was quite the opposite, you know. I mean, from people pulling over and bringing me food to asking me if I want to stay in their houses at night, wow, to one thing after another, every day, free meals, free lunch, free breakfast, free dinner. You know, the people were the amazing part of that journey. And it was such a shock and surprise. And it kind of reinvigorates your belief in humanity. Mm-hmm. In a way that it's really hard to describe. You know, it was just a profound experience. So.
Wow. Yeah, that's so heartwarming. And you know, I'm sure you made such an impact on all those people as well. And just so impressed that you know, you did that. That's remarkable. I want to kind of jump over to talking about resilience. And you have shown such incredible resilience throughout your journey. And I'm wondering why you think you've been able to be so resilient, and if there are certain qualities or attitudes that you have, or, you know, if you have an idea of what may have helped you in this area.
Yeah, I've just changed my expectations of myself, and I've become humble in everything I do. And I address any roadblock or problem as just that, a problem that needs to be solved. And I don't get discouraged. I used to be a very impatient person. You know, I didn't have the patience to do anything. If I was fumbling with something or wasn't effective at something, I just move on and do something else. And now I've developed, I'm still not the most patient person in the world, but on a spectrum, I'm much better than I was. And I'm continually finding these challenges and just working hard at them. And, you know, there's a whole range of things. You know, we're in a weird kind of state right now with this virus. And I'm got two or three projects right now that I'm really trying to learn that, I mean, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I never even would have attempted. I probably would have started it and quit. Because I've learned that with patience and with practice, and even with my own physical limitations that I have, there's pretty much not that many things that I haven't been able to really accomplish or do. And where there's will and there's intent and there's effort behind it, and the attitude, the right attitude, it's unbelievable what you can accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And, you know, a couple quick examples, you know, like I had my biggest, one of my biggest regrets from childhood is I played the guitar for 3 lessons and was kind of recommended I don't play the guitar because I'm more of a kind of analytical person.
Okay.
So I'm trying to play the guitar right now. You know, I have Parkinson's, my hand shakes and everything else, and I'm making really good progress and it's really been fun. And it's slow. Like if somebody was watching me do this, it would be worse than watching, you know, grass grow or paint dry, but I'm committed to it and I'm going to see what I can do. And it's a big evolution. And part of the path towards that was these types of events. Like you mentioned, I did the Ironman. Well, I didn't just go out and do an Ironman. I did a marathon before that, right? And mm-hmm. I didn't just go out and do a marathon. I did a Olympic distance triathlon before that. And I, you know, in multiple instances, in all of those different occasions, there were always individuals that I would talk to, some close friends that would say, wow, are you sure? I don't know that you can do that. It's not, you know, it just doesn't seem like it's a good idea. And, you know, again, back to safety first and health important. I'm okay to fail at these things, but I've really been shocked in almost all cases I've been able to do what I set out to do with the hard work and the right attitude. And that's what's been guiding me through these things. And it's been extremely rewarding and I'm not done yet. You know,
I love it. I love it. And you know, when we were talking, you also mentioned that you have a great sense of curiosity. And I think that's so important to have a curiosity about life. And that adds like a sense of excitement, you know, with you learning the guitar. I think that's just so cool that you're doing that.
Right. I mean, for anybody who plays a guitar, it would be just brutal to see me play. But from where I started, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago to where I'm at now, it's pretty impressive. So, and
right.
it's fun. So,
yeah. And sometimes, you know, I think we're our own worst critics, you know, and it sounds like you've been able to have the perspective of you're just having fun with it, you know, and I think one of the things that I've seen a lot of people are scared to put themselves out there because they're afraid of judgment. And a lot of it is you're judging yourself, you know, and I think from a lot of the things right. that you've done, you've been able to overcome that fear and just have fun with it and kind of be present in the moment and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. I mean, another example are these marathons. You know, I've had some knee problems and some of the marathons have taken me, you know, 5 hours or more to a quote unquote run. And, you know, I'd have to walk certain sections of a couple of these marathons. And, you know, 10 years ago, I never would have even contemplated doing that. Now I have fun with it. If I have to walk because I've got a knee problem or Parkinson's is kicking in and I've got an issue with that, I talk to people in the crowd, I make the best of it. And, you know, I'm still doing 26.2 miles. It's just taking me a little longer. So it's just an adjustment in perspective and attitude. And it's not a big adjustment. It's just kind of being humble and, like you said, curious and putting the energy behind it. That has been all the difference for me.
So. Yeah, a lot of optimism there. You know, I also am curious about if you've always had leadership roles in your life. I think you've kind of fallen into this, you know, leadership role with being a mentor to those with Parkinson's. And I'm wondering if that was your intent or if that kind of just fell into place for you.
I've always been an independent thinker, I'll say that. And I've always been more of an intrinsically motivated person. Mm-hmm. So I'd say I'm more of a leader by proxy than setting out to be a leader. It's not something I set out to do. I didn't, when I was, you know, like the Walk Across America, setting up the charities, working with these different organizations, I never kind of architected a kind of construct where I wanted to be a leader per se, but I wanted to make a difference And in doing that, you talked about it earlier, you know, I'm an engineer, so I think about it like a vector, and a vector is something that, you know, has an ordinal direction to it. So if I'm going to work on something that's going to help people, the further down that vector I get, the more impactful it's going to be. So I'm really good with putting all my energy into that and just going and going and going. And I think when I do these different events and I do that type of thing where I just put my heart and soul and I leave it all out on the mm-hmm. on the floor, kind of, so to speak, that ends up becoming inspirational to people. And then that leadership component comes in, but it's not by design, it's just by kind of the way it works.
So, yeah, in your presence. Yeah, yeah, it right. does. You know, you have so many successful achievements in your past. I'm wondering if there's anything else that you have on your list that you are hoping to do besides obviously play the guitar, which we talked about.
Yeah, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm sitting here in a full leg brace because I tore my quad muscle about three weeks ago. So it's going to be all prefaced by that. But yeah, I'm completing all the world major marathons. I was doing them all in a row with Tokyo and London left. And obviously with the virus and everything else, those have the Tokyo marathon was canceled and the London marathon was postponed till October 4th. So I'll be hopefully in shape by August and running the London Marathon on October 4th. And then in the second week in March, I'll be hopefully doing the Tokyo Marathon and completing all the world majors. That's one challenge. I've got a 100-mile race coming up in Kettle Moraine in Wisconsin, which was just postponed to September. It was supposed to be in June, which turns out to be fortuitous for me and the fact that I've got the leg problem. So and, you know, the one thing I want to mention, too, is all these extreme events that are athletic, there is a pretty solid reason behind why I'm doing these for mm-hmm. my own sake, which is in Parkinson's disease, the only thing really known to affect the progression of it is exercise. So that is the impetus for doing a lot of these other things. If, you know, there was something else that was impactful, I'd probably be putting as much energy into that as mm-hmm. I am these different activities. So I've got a 100-mile race coming up in Kettle Moraine. And then my intent was to look at doing some sort of an extreme run walk. Originally I was planning it for August, but with the leg problem, it'll probably be more towards the fall, or I might have to push it to the spring, which would be kind of a see what I can do with a consecutive walk without stopping and maybe break a world record there or look at doing that. So
wow,
that's in the works.
Well, I wish you a quick recovery, and I'm wondering if you have any advice that you would like to offer for those that are facing setbacks or any health challenges right now.
Yeah, definitely. And again, everybody's own situation has got a lot of nuance to it. So this is all prefaced by saying, you know, that, you know, again, safety first and consulting doctors and all that is important. But, you know, for me, I've got all sorts of challenges and issues on the table in front of me, but it doesn't stop me and from doing things that no one, and again, the foremost experts in the world thought that I could do, but I went ahead and did them, and I did them in fashion that was shocking and surprising to almost everyone. So I'd say don't underrate your own potential. The human spirit and with the will and the effort and the right intent, and back to what we were talking about with the vectors of things that are positive, mm-hmm. Put, you know, I would find something that you're passionate about and put everything into it and see what you can do. And my expectation is that you would be so surprised at what you're capable of that it's just going to be so rewarding and will continue to build on itself and take you down a path of, you know, exploration and discovery that could only be positive for you and people around you. And that's what I found with my own personal situation. Mm-hmm. You maybe have to check back with me and on this guitar thing, and maybe I'll be proven wrong. But you know, that's what I would say is, you know, find something that you can really, really put your heart and soul into and give it everything you have. And my expectation is it would be just extremely rewarding.
That is wonderful advice. And we are going to be coming to a close. And before we end, I would love to hear a little bit more about your not-for-profit and your current startup. And if there's a way people could get involved, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, thank you. So Uncorked Adventures, you know, it's a non-for-profit. My intent with that was not to create another standalone, not-for-profit organization, but really a generation of raising awareness for, in this case, obviously Parkinson's disease with my personal cause. But then we do a lot of fundraising for donations that I then pass 100% of that on to other organizations. Right now we're donating everything to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, which is great because their Team Fox is completely underwritten by an anonymous donor. So it goes penny for penny directly to research. And they have the great clinicians and their staff to guide those investments appropriately. So we're going to have a 5K again, be our second one in the summer, September, most likely, on the campus of Northwestern, beautiful campus here in Chicago. Okay. And I'm also, as you mentioned, involved in kind of a quasi startup, a company called Movement Revolution. We have a few gym locations across the Chicago area, and the focus of Movement Revolution is exercise and more holistic wellness for people with neurological diseases, because the emergent evidence of the impact of exercise on not only Parkinson's disease but other neurological conditions like Alzheimer's and dementia can not only slow the progression of the disease or the onset of the disease, but be disease modifying at some level. So I kind of quit my day job, so to speak, and diving in full head on into really trying to find ways to help people live better with neurological conditions. And very excited about that opportunity as well.
That's wonderful. Well, it's definitely some great causes, and I wish you, you know, great success. So thank you so much, Bill, for being my guest. Really appreciate it.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks. I had a lot of fun, and it was fun reminiscing a little bit on some of the things with you. So really enjoyed it, Crystal.
Thanks so much, Bill. And thank you all so much for tuning in today. You can follow Live Greatly on Instagram at livegreatly_CO and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. You can learn more about Live Greatly on my website, www.livegreatly.co. I'm available for speaking opportunities on multiple wellness topics and optimizing mental health. So please reach out if I could be of any help to you or your business. And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you all to awaken your ultimate potential.